Good morning, everyone. Good Chodesh, Chodesh Tov. It's the Chodesh of Mar Cheshvan. You know, one of the reasons it's called Mar Cheshvan is because there's no Yom Tov in it. Never take heart, because Shlomo HaMelech did complete the Beis HaMikdash. It's Mashi, the first Sicha in Chelek. There are three Sichas on Parshas Noach. It's the first Sicha in Chelek Yud. Somebody can put it into the chat group from those that got it from me last night. So we're told that Shlomo HaMelech finished the Beis HaMikdash in Cheshvan, but the Ebeshah told him to wait until the following Tishrei. So the Beis HaMikdash stood empty until Tishrei, but the Yalka tells us that there will be a Yom Tov in Cheshvan. So let us hope that we'll be zeichet to a Yom Tov in Cheshvan this year. So we are doing the first Sicha, for first Rashi Sicha, there's three of them, Parshas Noach, Chelek Yud. It would also be helpful, I think, if you find a Chumash with Rashi, or you find it online. I think it's always helpful to have that. So we're looking at Pasuk Tezayin 16 in Perek Vav, chapter 6, verse 16. And the Pasuk reads, Sayhar Taselateva, make a window or a skylight for the ark. And it says, Bel Amma Techalena Milmaila, finish it to one Amma on the top. O Pesachateva Basidu Tasim, place the opening of the ark in its side. Tachtim, make a lower deck. Shniim, a second. Ushlishim Tase, and a third deck. And let's just look quickly at Rashi, that Rashi on the last part because of the Sicha. But just to remind ourselves, three Aliyah, Zu, Al Gav, Zu, one above the other. Al Yanim La Adam, the uppermost floor of the table was for human beings. The middle one was for the animals. And the lowest one was for the refuse, was for the garbage. But what we're looking at is the first part of this Rashi under the word Soihar. And Rashi says, Yesh Omrim Chalon. Some say this was the window. Yesh Omrim Evan Teva. Others say it was a precious stone. Hame'irla applied them with light. Okay, and both of these opinions are found in Gemara Sanhedrin. And now we're going to go into the Sicha. So we did the first part of the Sicha, the short paragraph, because that was the Rashi. And now let's go to the second paragraph. Bepashtos, simply speaking, Kavonas Rashi hi, Shemefarish Tzayhar Kemo Tzaharayim. Simply speaking, it would seem that Rashi is interpreting the word Tzohar from the etymon that is used in the word Saharayim, which means, or the link to the text, Rashi, is in the chat group. Light. Er shakasov hu, shakadosh baruch hu tziva lenoach, la'asos dovar, shal yada yiye or bahateva. So the simple understanding of this pasuk is that Hashem commanded Noach to do something in order that there be light, that there be a source of illumination in the teva, in the ark. Well, maybe Rashi mehaya, and Rashi simply brings us two possible, two different opinions on what the source of illumination was. Yesh armim chalon. There are those that say that it was a window. Rashi says, "Shal yado yikanis or bahateva," and through the agency of the window, light will come into the ark, into the teva. And that is why the Torah uses an unusual name for window, and instead of saying chalon, which is the more conventional way, says tzohar, because tzohar is about light and explains why you need that. But Rashi also says, but there are those that say Evan Tova, that the Ebishter, that God told Noach to take in a luminous gem, the Lamanikras Kant Sahar, and why would it be called in the Torah at Sohar. So Rashi adds, Mosif Rashi, Hame'ir Elohim, that we're learning Sicha Aleph in Chelek Yud, Anayach. That would give them illumination. Bitzarech Lahavin. So here the Rebbe begins with the questions on this Rashi. Aleph. Bikra Ksiv Tzohar Beloshon Yachid. In the Pasuk that we're looking at, Tzohar is presented in singular fashion. It's a singular word. Valder Zeb Perish Rashi. And Rashi, in like fashion, speaks in singular form. It was Halon, one window. Evan Tova, one stone. The Ech, he speak or how would one window or one precious stone be ample source of illumination for the entire teva? Even though famously we know that the Ramban says it couldn't have been anything but the greatest miracle that all of these animals and all of these creatures fit onto this one teva, but still in all it wasn't tiny. It was 300 amas long, it was 50 amas wide, and 30 amas high. So it was quite the thing. And how would one window and a precious stone be enough to illuminate this? In the footnotes, we don't have the kind of time to study all the footnotes at length, but in the footnotes, it's brought to our attention that actually there are sources that say that Noach brought a lot of precious stones into the Teva to act as a source of illumination. But Rashi says one single stone, base. Ubiyesa yiksha. And there's a building. Kosov, it says in the Pasuk, kinim ta'ase es ha-teva. Uperish Rashi, and Rashi says, what is kinim? Madurim, madurim, l'chol behema v'chaya. Cubicles that each animal, each wild animal, each domestic animal, each species had its own cubicle. It further says, and we read this part of Rashi, v'tachtim shniim ushlishim, that there was a first floor, a second floor, and a third floor. V'imkein, afilu im nitchok, asher ha'chalon sha'asa noach ha'yagadol b'yoser. Even if, and this is a stretch to say, that the window made was huge, mikol makom, but still in all, ech yitachin she'chalon echad yo'ir madurim madurim. But how is it possible, still in all, for even a very huge window to actually illuminate all the floors and every single cubicle within each floor on the table? Gimel, Yadua, it's known. Shirashi mefarish beis pirushim beinyan echad beim kol echad mehapirushim levado ein bo kedei liyashiv hakosov lefipshuto b'chol hapratim. It is a well-known axiom, a rule, as established through the Rebbe's very unique critical analysis of Rashi, that Rashi only brings two explanations when each one by itself is not enough to reconcile all the details of the pshat of a given pasuk. Umasha kasu pirish ha'echad ein lahakshos pirish ha'sheni. So when he brings two when he brings two commentary, so there's something that's difficult in one that's not difficult that in the second. Okay, va'pirush harishon hu hakarav yosel pshut shel mikra. And how does he order them? And this, by the way, is true if he brings three pirushim. He orders them in the way in which they calibrate with the pshat of the pasuk. So keeping this in mind, al pizeh benidun didan. So keeping this rule in mind, in our particular pasuk, in what we are adjudicating right now, mahim hakushim b'shnei pirushim elu. Rebbe says, so what are the difficulties in each one of these two? Shebeshvilam huskak Rashi lahavishnehem, because each one has some of deficiency. There's some type of deficit in each one of these explanations, and therefore Rashi feels compelled to bring both of them. And which way is saying that there was a window closer to the pshat than saying that it was a precious stone? That was question three. Question four. Al pi haklala amor. Based on this rule, this axiom, this corollary that we just spoke of, that in bringing numerous explanations, each one comes to add to what is deficient in the other, comes to reconcile something that is missing in the first. Move on. So further, the Rebbe fleshes out this rule that when there is a difficulty with two explanations, v'yesh perush shlishi hamiyashiv kushya zu, and there is yet a third explanation that can be gleaned from the various sources that would address the question that still remains after two perushim, yavi Rashi gamas haperush shlishi. So Rashi will bring yet a third explanation that addresses what is deficient in the two that he brought already. And he'll do this even if there's something difficult in the third explanation. And it could even be that what's insufficient or what's deficient in the third explanation is even more significant than what's deficient in the previous two. In that case, Rashi will bring it as the third explanation. Why does the Rebbe give us this rule here about Pizeh Benid Didan? Because he wants to tell us, so based on this rule, when our Rashi right here, Kivon Shelebez HaPirushim Kasha Kanal, because is a difficulty with the two above explanations, De'ech He'iruch, which is both of these explanations share a difficulty, which is how could one window or one precious stone, as spectacular as it might be, how could it illuminate the whole table? So madua lo perish Rashi. So why did not Rashi include keperish hacheskuni in accordance with what the cheskuni teaches? Did sohar milashon yitzhar, which is shemen. That sohar is etymologically linked with the word yitzhar, which is a biblical word for shemen. The kavanas hakasuf hi shenoach yavi shemen lateva. That is telling us by Sohar Taselateva, that what the pasuk is actually telling us is that Noach should bring a good supply of oil in order that he should be able to light many, many candles. And in that fight up all the different cubicles, the floors, the nooks, and the crannies of the table. Ba'af im timtze lomar shadochak lefarish sohar milasar. Okay. So one reason to push back on that, in other words, to explain why Rashi doesn't bring this, is to say that it's a real stretch to say that the word sohar here is etymological word yitzhar. But the Rebbe says, but there's another problem. V'gam kosha lashon hakasuv sohar ta'ase lateva. With that perush, that sohar is speaking about oil, because the pasuk says ta'ase lateva. You should make it. Avol idach hari dafka leperush that tisyashiv hatmiya hamura. On the other hand, yes, there's a difficulty because you don't make the oil; you would be bringing it into the teva. Whereas with the window, you would actually have to construct it. With the stone, you could argue that you would actually have to harvest. The word go to a quarry, you know, you don't just find a stone. A stone would have to be cut out, it would have to be chiseled, it would still have to be made in some fashion. On the other hand, the Rebbe says, but you would be able to reconcile our previous question. So why doesn't Rashi bring it as a third explanation? Okay, so we still have this problem that says tasa, and it doesn't say to bring, it says to make, but it would address the question we have on the first two perushim, which is how can one source actually light up a multifaceted space? It would seem that would be very, very difficult to do. Beis Lekaman earlier, and where's earlier? In no, so it means further. Sorry, on the in Perek Ches Pasuk Chav Beis. So if you have a Chumash, you can open it up. If you're very tech savvy, you could find it. You're probably laughing. They say you have to be very tech savvy to find something. I'm just betraying my own. So in Pasuk Chav Beis, verse 22, in chapter 8 in Noach, this is where Hashem says, I will never again smite every living thing as I have done. And then in Pasuk Chav Beis, God says, so long as the earth exists, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never be spended. And if you look at Rashi on the words, V'yayim v'layla lo yishbaisu, day and night will never be suspended. Miklol, Rashi says, it can be inferred, she shashvisu kol yimos hamabo, that it did cease during all the days of the flood, shelo shimshu hamazalos, that did not function, velo nikar ben yom uven laila, and night and day were indistinguishable. So God says, there's never again going to be a suspension of day and night, but Rashi says that's what happened during the mabo. Va'al pizeh tamua. So based on this, we have a wonder. We wonder, b'yaser, it's a big wonder, kemo shehiksha ha-ra'im, like the Ra'im, who is a super commentary, Rabbi Elazar Mizrahi on Rashi, asks the question, ma to'eles chalon ha-teva im lo haya or b'chol yomim me'amabel? What would be the efficacy of a window if there was no light all the days of the mabel? Vihine Mefarshi Rashi Tirsu. So other super commentaries on Rashi. Dikavonas lo shimshu hamazolos. That when Rashi says that the constellations were not working, he litnuas hagalgalim hainu shakol yimei samabul nisbatel v'sivuvam aval haya k'tas or ba'ola. The Sifsei Chachamim or the Maskil David explain that it's not that there was no light. There was a little bit of light, but what this is saying is that the normal way in which the mazalos, the galaxies do their rotations, that was suspended. The way in which the planets do their rotations, that was suspended, but there was some light. But the Rebbe says, "Ulam kvar nizbar kama pa'amim." We've already explained many times. Shirashi kasav perusho besignon barur, that Rashi wrote his perush in a very clear style. Ba'ofen shagam ben chomesh lemikra lo yita bekavanoso. He did so in a way that even the proverbial ben chomesh lemikra from the Mishnah ben chomesh lemikra, that even the 5-year-old that's studying chomesh should not mistake Rashi intends to tell us. Ubenidun didirish ha-pashot shel dvarav michlal sheshav su shamshu ha-mazalos. The simple explanation that the 5-year-old will understand, that the 50-year-old will understand, is that Rashi is teaching us that day and night were not functioning in their normal way. And that the luminaries of the world, shelo asu shimushom v'tafkidam lahayir al ha'aretz, that they did not do their job, as it were, to illuminate the world. V'lo rakshin is batla tnuas hagalgalim. It's not just that the rotations were suspended, but that in fact they did not do their regular job. So then we're still left with our question, which is, what's the point of creating a window if there's no light coming in through that window? L'chora, it would seem, yesh mokom l'taritz, kushia tara'im. There's a way to address, to reconcile, to explain this question. Ulefarish, and to explain, shekavanas Rashi, al derech hapshat, that Rashi's intention here in saying, sheshavsu kol yimos hamabel, that the sources the luminaries, the sources of illumination, planets, the sun, the moon, and everything else, that all of this stopped. He rak lahamem yom shahaya hamapel. This is only for the 40 days that the water was actively coming down. Kamo shenemar, like it says, vayhi hamapel arba'im yom ala aretz. That the water which was coming down from above, and don't forget that there was also water that was pummeling the earth from the subterranean sources, all of the springs, that was only for 40 days. Well, achrei mem yom elu, and after these 40 days, kvar shamshu hamazalos, then the luminaries, the planets, galaxies, everything went back to working as normal. So simple explanation to answer this question that the Reim has, why would you make a window if the natural sources of light suspended? The answer is that they were suspended for 40 days, and afterwards they were working as normal. But we're still, the question was still left with a wonder. Lahayesh omrim detzohar hu chalon ma heyer es hateva b'meshach kol hamem yomim shalosh shamshu hamazalos. Okay, so let's go with this theory that it was only for 40 days that the natural sources of light couldn't be relied on. They were suspended. But what did illuminate the teva during those 40 days? Gimel. Vabir b'cholzeh. The explanation the Rebbe says, "B'tzivo Yekadosh Baruch Hu Lenoach al Asiyas HaTeva." If you look at the instructions that Hashem gave to Noach in constructing the Teva, "Lo Nemru Kol Prote HaInyanim Shahayu Basiyasa," you'll see a pattern that we don't have enumerated, we don't have delineated every single detail of the construction. Lidugma, for example. Mifurash Bikra, it says it very clearly, and you can look in Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Gimel. So in Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, "Vayhi ba'achas v'sheish me'ashana," was in the 601st year, "Barishon le'echad," in the month, "lachodesh," on the first of the month, "chorvu hamayim al aretz," that the water on the earth began to dry. And then it says, "Vayasar Noach es michse hateva." Noach removed the covering of the ark. That's what the pasuk says. But the Rebbe points out, "V'loy matzinu shakadosh baruch hu yitzav es Noach lasos hamichse." But we don't have any specific command from Hashem to Noach that he should make this covering for this ark. Kain la. And in like fashion, we don't have, if we're going to accept that, so when it says that this is an Evan Tova, that this is a precious gem, then we have another problem. We don't have a place in the Torah where Noach is commanded to make a window, which is specifically referenced later on. Where is it referenced? At Perek Ches, chapter 8, Pasuk Vav, verse 6. And in that Pasuk, it says, "Vayihi miketz arba'im yom." It was after 40 days. "Vayiftach Noach hasachalon hateva." Noach opened the window of the ark, asher asah, which he had made. But we never found the command that he make a window. We also don't find a clear command that he make a door. We find in actually the pasuk that we started with today, that we find that God tells him where to position the door, but he doesn't tell him to make a door. Vahatam. So what's the reason? Bipshuta shel mikra muvan. It's understood, if we look at this simply, shekasher tziva kadosh baruch hu lenoach la'asos teva. When God commanded Noach to make a teva, v'hayatzorek l'tzavos al kol ha'protim ha'mukhrochim lios b'vinyana. It wasn't necessary for God to dictate to him every single detail that was necessary for the construction. Ki muvanim hi me'atzmam, because they're self-understood. V'rak pratim elu shenoch lo haya yodea me'atzmo. And so it would appear that it would be only the detail Noah couldn't infer on his own, sivoa kadosh baruch hu alehim. Those details God commanded him specifically. V'lachein. And so based on this thesis that Hashem did not command Noach to do those things that he could understand of his own volition, of his own train of thought, because it's understood that there's going to have to be some covering for this ship that's floating in a world where there's water pounding down 40 days and 40 nights. It's clear that it's going to have to be some door. How are people going to get into this vessel? So now the Rebbe is bringing us back to understand. So what is Rash doing there? Because based on this thesis, it's self-understood that there has to be some sort of illumination on this table. So essentially, Noach would not need a clear command from God to provide some source of illumination. Because it's simple that you have to do something to illuminate the table. Ubifrat, and especially Shabateva Haya Kol Hachaya Lamina V'chol Behema, especially because Hashem had commanded Noach to take onto the Teva every type of animal, all species, and every single type of domesticated animal. Sheminzonosehem Hu Hayu Mutolim Al Noach, and their nourishment depended on Noach. Noach was the caretaker. V'od. And especially as we said before, each of these animals was in its own cube. And certainly, so it seems almost impossible to believe that Noach would not have prepared by himself candles, oil, whatever materials he needed to illuminate the teva. The Gambalit Tibur Kadosh Baruch Hu Alzeh, without any command. Ella Sha'al Pizem Mitorer Tasha Ella. So then, according to this, we have a question, and that is, Madua Tziva Kadosh Noah Dohar Ta'aseh L'Teva. So then, based on, I have a question, which is, so why would we have this puzzle? Dohar Ta'aseh L'Teva. Because certainly, in any event, Noach would have certainly prepared some type of material to act as a source of luminescence for the teva. Therefore, we're forced to say that in these there is a special command. Hainu, meaning, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Tziva Oso La'asos Tzohar, when God commands him to make this Tzohar, Inyan Shel Or, something that will act as a source of illumination, this is Nosaf Le'or Shehechin Mida. This is in addition to whatever he had prepared from his own thought process, his own logic. Why? Dichtei Lehosif Or Bateva. Because the Eibishter God apparently knew that he needed to add more. So now once we understand that this is about more light, additional light, not the primary illumination that Noach would have certainly prepared on his own. So now we're looking back at the Rashi. Ubitzohar nosav zeh. So in this additional source of Mefarish Rashi Beis Pirushim, Rashi gives us two commentaries, two explanations. Yesh chalon, she'al yedei ha-chalon ha-yosef bahateva, that there would be additional light through the window. Yes, we have to qualify in the parentheses, Acharei hamem yom shelo shamshu hamazalos, after the 40 days during which the natural sources of illumination were suspended, the sun, the moon, the stars. Ba'af shali dechalon echad lo nitosef habarbateva. And even though through one window, we wouldn't have a huge amount of illumination that's added. Hare shimesh hachalon gam shimushim achirim. But we'll say that the window also served many other purposes. Could go lahachnis or lahotzi, to take things out, to bring things in, la'avir to the atmosphere, etc. I just want to bring your attention to footnote 23 quickly. And he says, Lulei tzivei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if not for the specific command of God to make a tzohar, ulai lo haya Noach oseh chalon or chalonot la'ir et hateva. In fact, we have reason to believe that Noach would not have made a window or windows, kivon shebelav hachi hutzrach la'achin neiros, because in either case he would have to prepare these candles, ukiyot bazeh, or other type of illumination like oil, lahayir es hateva ba'layla, in order to illuminate the teva at night, and also when the window would be closed, meaning maybe there would be something that would eclipse the light. And here's another thing. Okay, so let's say sometimes the window is going to be blocked and he's not going to get light from there. And he anyway has to bring candles, but why not make a window? He says, because a window would in some way weaken the protection of the teva from the water. So we all know that unless you have like really, really new and expensive windows during the winter, there's always going to be some cold that comes in from the windows. Okay, imagine you're creating a teva to protect you against a mabul. You don't want to do anything that will compromise the integrity of that protection, and that could be a good reason that Noah would not think of his own to make a window. But God told him specifically to make the window. But what do you gain from the window? Not too much, based on what we've already understood. Okay, so there are other usages for the window. Later, you know, we see that he sent the raven, he sent the dove, but that could have gone out the door also. And the Rebbe says, Ela shepeirush deh, this explanation that it's a window, eino marviach kol kach, it doesn't gain us too much. Because from the fact that the pasuk changed its from a normal terminology and uses the word sohar and not chalon, because from the fact that the pasuk uses the word sohar, we have to conclude that the main reason for making the window is to give us more light. And we just said, how much more light could we have gained from one window? And as we've already said, one window can only illuminate a small part of the teva. And beis lo nichnas or bateva al yidei chalon. And we also would not have any chance of getting any light, not even a little, until after the 40 days of the mabul. Because of this, Bibi Rashi od perush. Therefore, Rashi feels compelled to bring another perush, because we have this outstanding deficiency in this explanation, which is how much light could it already bring in? And we can't go with the explanation that this skylight was to provide egress, was to provide another way to leave the teva, because the pasuk uses the word tsoihar, which means it's about illumination. Lachin may be Rashi oid perish. Therefore, Rashi has to bring another explanation. What is that? V'yesh omrim even tova hameir lahem, that it was a precious stone and that illuminated the teva. So what do we gain from this? That if it's a precious stone, then you could take the stone from one to another. When you have to go visit the lions, you bring it to the cubicle of the lions, you bring it to the where the cage of the lions, and when you have to go to the elephants, you bring it to the elephants. You take this precious stone and you take it to go in order to give you illumination when you need it. And the other thing you gain is that the precious stone was a source of illumination the entire time, inclusive of the first 40 days when it was raining and when the celestial were suspended in their function. But why did Rashi put this second if this takes care of two problems that the first perish, right? Why not put this first? First of all, that this could be taken, it's portable, could be taken from one place to another. And second, that it could be used the entire time the Noach was on the Teva. But the problem with this is, Eino mityashe b'loshon hakasuf sohar ta'ase l'teva. But even though you still have to arguably, okay, let's say maybe Noach was able to source a stone that was complete, then there's no tase. So havel olomar, then it should have said, sohar tachnis lateva. You should bring it in, like we said with the candles and the oil. Okay, yotze b'zeh. V'gam madua yitzava kadosh baruch hu lasos davar bilti rogil legamrei lachin eben tova b'shvil tosafot or b'hateva. There's two problems with the second parish, which is why it's second. Number one, it doesn't really calibrate with the lashon of the pasuk, which is ta'aseh. Yes, there might be some overture necessary if actually going to go to a quarry and chisel away and get this precious stone. But precious stones can also be obtained completely, and therefore there would be no reason ta said to make it. It should simply have said, bring it into the table. And also, why such an unusual source of light? And because this perush doesn't jibe with the simple explanation of the pasuk, therefore Rashi brings it as the second, vaharishon hu perush haikri, and the fact that it was a window is the main explanation. And we might also say, and this is important, this is ikar, this is primary, and even to preface, midubar kama pa'amim, we have spoken many times, shirashi b'peirusha miyashiv kol davar hakasha al pipshuta shel mikra, that Rashi comes to explain and to reconcile every difficulty in the pshut, in the pshat the pasuk, ulechora, so it seems, but needed to be done in our pasuk, kushia gdola b'li tiras b'perish Rashi, that there's a big question that is not addressed by Rashi. And that is, kol ha-pratim b'tzivu ha-teva, all or many of the details in the command to build the teva, perish Rashi tam kol echad v'echad. Rashi explains why it was necessary. For instance, he tells us why it was necessary to have three floors and what happened on the floors. He tells us why it was necessary to pitch the tar on the inside and the outside. And in a few places, Makdim, he prefaces his explanation with the word lama, wa, hainu, shetzarek liyos tam. Seems that Rashi is saying that there should be a reason for every single deed told Noach in Hadateva. Uma hatam de tzohar. So what is the need for the tzohar? Ve'im mishum shiluach ha'orev, if about sending later the raven. Hare haye yochel l'shalcho derech ha'pesach. He could have sent the raven through the door. Ve'lachein perish rashlon, therefore Rashi gives us a perish window. Kivan de'me'atzma lo hayanoch osechalon. This brings us back to what to the Rebbe's thesis, that this is not something that Noach would have made of his own Sharei nemar lo v'hinini mashchisam. Because Hashem had said, I'm to destroy them. We're going to destroy the entire planet. D'mistaber d'nemar lo prate ha'onesh kolo shelo sham shuram azalos. So it's logical to believe that when Hashem told him he's going to destroy the entire world, he told Noach all the details of how this is going to happen, all the details of this punishment, all the details of this destruction, inclusive of the fact that the celestial bodies would not be operating. However, Aval Benogei Lepol, but practically speaking, Rashi tells us in Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis, Horidan Berachamim Im Yachzru Yiyu Gishmei Bracha. Then when the Mabul began, Hashem brought down the waters with mercy, so that if the people of the world would in that 11th hour still shuvah, the water would be water of blessing. Lachain gam nitzdave la'asos chalom. Therefore, he was still commanded to make a window. In other words, the chiddush of this Rashi is to tell us that actually it was completely illogical to make a window. But nevertheless, Noach did it because Hashem told him to, which points this concept that maybe in the 11th hour they'll do tshuva, and then the window will have some efficacy because the world entire won't be destroyed and the celestial bodies won't stop their function. But in contradistinction, Ido was saying that Sohar is a precious stone. Then we need to understand what is the purpose of this command. Now the Rebbe switches gears and gives us the Yena Shel Torah. What is the wine that flows from this part of Torah? What is the deepest explanation? What is the Hora? What is the explanation that we can learn from this Rashi for our own lives? So the Rebbe says, Hahefresh bein ha'or shenichnas al yidei chalon la'or al yidei even tova. The difference between light that comes in through a window and light that comes from a precious stone. Who? What's the difference? Or hachalon, who, or habamim mibachutz. A window is the agency through light, which is outside, comes in. But or even tova, but the light that comes from a precious stone, meir mibifnim. This is the light that the stone itself entails. Hainu, me'atzmuso o mehuso. The light comes from its essence. Okay. Ubeis inyanim ilu. And these two modalities of serving as a source of light, him shnei ofanim bavodas Hashem. The Rebbe says that they teach us two modalities in serving Hashem. Because after everything is said and done, tachlis ha'avoda de Torah mitzvah, what is the purpose of Torah mitzvahs? He la'asos sohar lateva. The whole purpose of Torah mitzvahs is to illumination, to make a sohar into the teva that is our life, that is our existence. Lahachnis, to bring in, uligalot, and to reveal, or Eloki ba'olam, to bring in and to reveal the light of Hashem that is in this world. And this can happen in two ways. The first way is to make a window. Because in truth, there is light of God in the world. But olam milashon helem, The word olam is etymologically rooted in the word helem, which means to shroud and obscure. So the world obscures its creator. We have to make a window. In other words, we have to be able to constantly be making an aperture, eking out opening in this helem v'hester, in this obfuscation, to let in the light of Hashem that is just beneath the surface. Ukiyadua, and the Rebbe says, as is known, and this is Hayom Yom, Shahabale asokim yicholim liras hashkacha partes binyanei olam shalehem va'od yoser me'elu hanimtsoim kol yimein b'dalet amas shel Torah tefila. The Rebbe cites this teaching that people who are engaged in business, all types of asokim, it doesn't just mean, it mean business per se. They're involved in all types of overtures and projects in this world. They're able to see hashgacha pratis in the world even more than those in the dalet amas of Torah and Tefillah that are constantly sitting and learning and davening. That when you open your eyes, it doesn't matter what your field is, whatever field you're in, you can see God. Ella. But to reach this, but in order to do this, you have to be open to seeing this. You have to move away. There are so many the helem v'hester. There's so many ways, so many metaphors. The mask, the drape, whatever it is that's shrouding and obscuring and obfuscating the celestial light, the Or Eloki. Lahasir es levush hateva. You have to take away, you have to move away the garment that we call nature. Shehu hester al yizbar shalamala mehateva. Because this obscures the light of Hashem and godliness that is higher, that created teva. Vizuhi madreka harishona b'avodas ha'adam. That's the first madriga in the spiritual work of each person. La'asos chalon, to make do, b'hamechitza v'ahester d'teva, to nature and say, yes, I respect you, but you are just the facade, you are just the topical, the external, the exterior presentation of something that pulse right beneath you, and I'm going to make a window and I'm going to let that in. Through making this window, we allow illumination from the source of all light, from the godly light that is higher than Teva. But there's a higher level than making this window. But after you take this blockage, this mechitza, that which is separating or blocking, which we call teva, and you make a window in it, you make an opening, you make an aperture, shemeir ba'olam ha'ar shelamala mehateva, that illuminates the world with a light that is higher than nature, harezen esinas koach la'adam. This gives a person the strength, lehatoel, to go higher, ulahagia, and to reach limadreka v'ofenala yoser b'avodas Hashem, to reach an even higher level in serving Hashem. V'yesh omrim elu shekvar asu hachalon even tova hameir lahem. Those that say that after you make the window, then an even tova will illuminate for you. Hainu what. It's not just that you remove the shroud, the obfuscation that seeks to cloud and block, which are the levushi hateva, the natural of this world, but you completely transform that until the teva itself, the nature itself, the front that the world presents to us it itself becomes a source of light and revelation. It becomes Even Tova. It becomes a precious gem. I was thinking about this, we could open this up to discussion, but I was thinking that maybe we can understand this, for instance, not exclusively, maybe in two different ways in which we might relate to Sat. One is to say, you know, this is the scientific data, this is what science teaches us, but we're going to open up a window in it, as it were. We're going to create context. We're going to create a way of understanding it, a hashkafa, a perspective. So for instance, we'll understand that science can tell us what the world looks like or how it functions. It could tell us how old the world appears to be. But we make a window in this and we say, but the Torah tells us how old the world actually is. Or the Torah tells us why we're in this world to begin with. But a higher level would be where science itself illuminates the truth about this world, and that, and I know nothing about science, but I've had the pleasure and the privilege of speaking with and mostly listening to scientists who are religious, who believe in a creator, explaining how the more you learn, the more it itself illuminates the fact that there has to be a transcendent power. And it's amazing what you could find with a little bit of Googling these days. So I want to share something that I thought was pretty marvelous. I'm going to send you this in the chat box. I'm going to send you this link. All if you open this, you could read this with me. I thought this was really interesting and cool. So what Albert Einstein said about scientists and prayer. Scroll down a little, and it's a letter written in 1936, My Dear Dr. Einstein, written by a young girl. We have brought up the question, do scientists pray, in our Sunday school class. It began by asking whether we could believe in both science and religion. We are writing to scientists and other important men to try and have our own questions answered. We'll feel greatly honored if you'll answer our question. Do scientists pray? And what do they pray for? We are in the sixth grade, Miss Ellis's class. Respectfully, yours, Phyllis. Only 5 days later, Einstein wrote back, Dear Phyllis, I will attempt to reply to your question as simply as there's my answer. Scientists believe that every occurrence, including the affairs of human beings, is due to the laws of. Therefore, a scientist cannot be inclined to believe that the course of events can be influenced by prayer, that is, by a supernaturally manifested wish. However, we must concede that our actual knowledge of these forces is imperfect, so that in the end, the belief in the existence of a final, ultimate spirit rests on a kind of faith. Such belief remains widespread, even with the current achievements in science. But also, everyone who is seriously in the pursuit of science becomes convinced that some spirit is manifest in the laws of the universe, one that is vastly superior to that of man. In this way, the pursuit of science leads to a religious feeling of a special sort, which is surely quite different from the religiosity of our naive. So I just thought that was really interesting. And aside what it says about him, to reply to a sixth grader's query, that makes him really great in my eyes. But I thought that it really related to this last point that the Rebbe made here about science, Teva itself, the nature and the ways in which this world presents itself, that itself becomes a source of luminescence. the Elokos in our life. So that's the sicha for today. And we even came in with 4 minutes to spare. So wishing everybody a good chodesh, a full of conceivable bracha, b'tayv hanir v'hanigla. Everybody have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My great pleasure. Thank you for sure and the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.